Today we come to the seventh chapter of Ecclesiastes. Actually, it's one of my favorite chapters because this is one of my favorite topics. You know, sometimes we don't like to talk about death, but I think that the Bible has much to share with us about death. And I've entitled this morning's message as The Wisdom of Death. You know, death is not something that we like to talk about. You know, it's not something that we enjoy because death is like the last enemy. You know, is a very formidable foe. And many people cannot defeat death. In fact, not many people. All of us cannot defeat death. But we thank God there's one person who did, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, as we talk about death, how many of you have read a book called The Denier of Death? Or The Beauty of Death? Or The Anatomy of Death? Or whatever thing about death, you know? Because we don't want to even use the word death. Because death is such a scary thing, right? But death has a way of making us sit up and think about life, life's destiny, and how we can live our life more meaningfully. Thus, as you look at death in the face and try to learn something from it, you know, we can fear death and live in anxiety all our life. Or we can allow God to use death and the meaning of death to help us to live a life that will truly be profitable, a life that is fruitful, a life that will bring glory, praise, and honor to Him. You know, recently, as I was speaking at Teresa's mother's wake service, I said four things about death. You know, the first thing I said about is that death is inevitable. Everybody has to die. Whether you are rich and famous, you are powerful and significant, you have to die. The pauper begging for money, you know, and those who are living on the streets, they too also have to die one day. Because in life, like the Chinese people said, 生老病死, you know, these are the four certainties of life. You know, to be born, to grow old, to be sick, and then to die. Those are the certainties. Of course, in Singapore, there are more certainties than that. You know, it's about taxes, it's about another campaign. You know, it's about ERPs, you know, more ERP gantries and increase in prices and increase in the prices of parking. You know, these are the certainties of life in Singapore. But yet, death is definitely one of them. I still remember some people, they never get sick. All their life, they never take MC. Or, you know, they never seem to grow old. You know, their hair is always black and plentiful. You know, actually, I have less hair than my father. When I stand beside my father, I think they think I'm the older brother because he has a lot of hair and they're black. And in fact, when he died, you know, a lot of people still call him young man. You know, that was my father. You know, he never seems to grow old. But you know something? All of us, whether you grow old or not, whether you're sick or not, there are two certainties. Firstly, you were born. And secondly, you and I will die. So death is inevitable. But death is also imminent. That means it's coming closer. You know, young people, we are filled with enthusiasm, dynamism, creativity, innovation, and we feel that life is ahead of us. You know, we always have so much future ahead. When you're 20, you think that you can conquer the world when you finish your university studies. And when you do, you think that the world is actually under your feet because you know so much and you can do so much and you feel that, hey, world, I'm here to conquer the world. You know, there are people I speak to who don't bother about God. When you talk to them about death, they say, oh, the worst come to worst, I'll go to hell because most of my friends will be going there anyway, you know, and we're going to have a party there. And I've got to tell them, you know, sorry, there are no parties in hell, all right? It's only loneliness and grim and gloominess. You know, death is imminent. The moment we are born, we are nearer to the grave. So whether you're 20 or 30 or 40 or 50, you are getting closer to the grave. It's imminent. Death is also impartial. Death is the great equalizer. Death has no respecter of persons. I mean, as you think of all the great people in the world, you know, there are three generals in the world that were rather great. And when this third general was asked, who are the other two, you know, who are the three greatest generals in the world or the greatest heroes in the world? He said the other two is Alexander the Great and Napoleon Bonaparte because he was the third one, you know. But this guy, Alexander the Great, I'm sure we all know him. Because he died very young. You know, just in his early 30s, he died of fever. For a man who conquered Europe and was going towards Asia, you know, led a great mighty army, yet he too had to die. But one day before he died, he was actually seeing his great professor or teacher, Diogenes. And Diogenes was doing something interesting. He was speaking something. So Alexander the Great says, "Oh, great one, wise one, what are you doing?" And Diogenes turned to him and says, "You know, my great king, I was looking for the bones of your father, the great King Philip, but I don't seem to be able to distinguish it from that of the slaves." You know, because death is impartial. Whether we are the greatest man in Singapore or the most powerful man on earth, everybody has to die. The man who washes the body of the pauper will also wash the body of the prince. And when we die, the coffin is the same size. You know, if you are buried in the ground, the burial plot is the same, because death is no respecter of persons. So, beloved brothers and sisters, the fourth thing I want to say about death is that death is almost invincible. Almost. Because emperors, kings, princes, princesses, doctors, and scientists, and even rich people, they want to find the elixir to long life. They want a potion they can drink and they will never die. You know, I think there are many stories of how emperors will send people to the other side of China to go and look for something, and of course they continue to stay there. And today we have what is called Japan, right? So Japanese and Koreans, they're all same as us. We're all Chinese, you know. But you know something? Death. No one can conquer death, because death is almost invincible. You know, as a pastor, I've been privileged to be at the deathbed of many people. And I still remember, you know, being there for my own mother, holding her hand. And there, you know, with my father-in-law, there with some church members before they go. And of course, there was one church member that was, when she died, it was one of the most horrifying deaths that I can find. Because when she died, blood was just flowing out from every avenue from her. From the ear, from the nose, from the mouth, and everywhere there's some outlet, blood was flowing out. So you say, "Wow, Pastor, very ghastly." I say, "Yes. That was one of the most terrifying deaths." But there's my very good friend, Dr. Lillian Lim, president of the Asia Graduate Baptist Theological Seminary. She was such a good friend of ours, but she had what was called the Ma Fan syndrome. So you say it's Ma Fan. Is that a Chinese word? No, it's an English word. Ma Fan syndrome. You know, Ma Fan syndrome means she has a heart valve problem. You know, a few weeks before she died, actually, I was quite injured at that time myself. I was, being disabled by a great fall. And I was talking to her on the phone, and suddenly she just went silent. And I kept calling and calling. I says, "You know, Lillian, are you there? Are you there? Are you there?" You know, she just couldn't answer me. So in desperation, I called my other pastors and said, "Can you please rush to Lillian's house and go and help her? I don't know what happened to her. Please go there and help her." And true enough, she had actually fainted while she was talking to me. You know, I have been thinking about this wonderful lady who has done so much for our Baptists. To many people, she was a great woman. But to her and, you know, to my wife and I, she is our good friend. You know, death is a very scary thing. But yet, thanks be to God, in Jesus Christ, death can be the most special thing. Because in death, all your knowledge of Jesus, everything you hear about Jesus, everything you read about Jesus, and all your faith in Jesus becomes reality. Because as a Christian, right at the point of death, you will see Jesus right before your very eyes. Beloved, I mean it, because I know what Jesus said. Jesus says, "I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." So, beloved brothers and sisters, death can be a very scary thing, but it can be a very special thing because Jesus Christ has conquered death. So let's all stand as we read the 29 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 together. Okay, we have them all very nicely written here, right? So let's all begin. A good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death better than the day of birth. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in a house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in a house of pleasure. It is better to heed a wise man's rebuke than to listen to the song of fools. Like the crackling of thorns under the pot, so is the laughter of fools. This too is meaningless. Extortion turns a wise man into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. The end of a matter is better than its beginning. The patience is better than pride. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. Wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing, and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this, that wisdom preserves the life of its possessor. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what he has made crooked? When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider, God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, a man cannot discover anything about his future. In this meaningless life of mine, I've seen both of these, a righteous man perishing in his righteousness, and a wicked man living long in his wickedness. Do not be over-righteous, neither be over-wise. Why destroy yourself? Do not be over-wicked, and do not be like a fool. Why die before your time? It's good to grasp the one and not let go of the other. The man who fears God will avoid all extremes. Wisdom makes one wise man more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. There's not a righteous man on earth. Does what is right and never sins. Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. For you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. All this I tested by wisdom, and I said, I'm determined to be wise, but this is beyond me. Whatever wisdom may be, is far off and most profound. Who can discover it? So I turned my mind to understand, to investigate, and to search out wisdom and a scheme of things, and to understand the disability of wickedness and the madness of folly. I find more bitter than death the woman who is a snare, whose heart is a trap, and whose hands are chains. The man who pleases God will escape her, but a sinner she will ensnare. Look, says the teacher, this is what I've discovered, adding one thing to another to discover the scheme of things. While I was still searching but not finding, I found one upright man among a thousand, but not one upright woman among them all. This only have I found. God had made mankind upright, but men have gone in search of many schemes. Thank you. Please be seated. May God bless the reading, the hearing, and most of all, the joyful obedience to his holy word. You know, I've entitled the message as The Wisdom of Death. Why do I call this a chapter that's full of the word die, or death, or dying, you know? The wisdom. Because death actually has so much wisdom. You know, I wish, and I've said this at every funeral, that we will be here for a birthday party, an anniversary, some celebrations because of promotion exercise or whatever, but we're here because of a funeral. You know, when you and I are at a funeral, nobody ever thinks about wining and dining and merrymaking. But you begin to think about life because nothing makes you think about life more than death. You know, life, the meaning and the purpose of life. That's why death has so much wisdom. And let me refresh your mind on the word wisdom. Because wisdom, as I've said it many times, is actually the God-given ability to discern the true nature of a situation and to apply God's word and God's will in that situation. Or as what Chuck Swindoll says, wisdom is the God-given ability to see life with rare objectivity and to handle life with rare stability. And I think it's so true. Because true wisdom is God-given. We cannot search for wisdom from the gurus living in the mountains or go to some little hut and find a, you know, old grand-looking person and says, can you please tell me something about wisdom? You know, I have friends who have gone to India, who has gone to look for Sai Baba, paid thousands of dollars and travel thousands of miles and go up to the mountain. And just to hear this guru says, wisdom is found in the gong of the bell. I mean, you spend thousands of dollars, thousands of miles, just to hear it's found in the gong of the bell. Is that wisdom? You know, true wisdom comes from God. That's why the Bible says that when you fear God, that's the beginning of wisdom. So what is this book telling us? Firstly, wisdom to live life better. Live life better. Because in the face of death, let's think about life. Is your life a better life? Now that you're a Christian, is it better than before you became a Christian? You know, I think when you look at verse 1, it's a beautiful verse there. Because it says, a good name is better than fine perfume and a day of death better than the day of birth. So it says, better a good reputation than fine perfume. I think we all enjoy smelling perfume. You know, some people cannot because the perfume can be overpowering. But some perfume are so soft and nice and the fragrance, you just want to follow the person who's wearing the perfume, isn't it? But you know something of a perfume? It can be very beautiful, very expensive, but it will be very temporal. After a while, it's gone. So you ladies, you can have very expensive Chanel perfumes in your wardrobe or whatever, or in your, you know, designer's desk. I tell you what, if you don't use the perfume, it will soon disappear. Because it's very transient. So Kohelet, the wise man, he's using two words in Hebrew quite, you know, in contrast. And the first word is Shem, S-H-E-M. That means name, your name. But the second word is Shemnon. Shemnon, and that's actually the oil, okay, so, or the perfume. So he's saying that your name and perfume, you know, one is supposed to be forever, the other one is very transient. But you know what someone says? All of us have at least three names. The first name given by our parents, the second name that other people call us, and the third name we earn ourselves. Can you remember this? The first name is given by our parents. The second name is what other people give us. And I know that many of us, you know, we give our children very cute names, you know. Some call our children aboy, you know. Some call baobei, you know. Or some says words like fatty, you know. I mean, I remember my church member calling the son fei zai. Thankfully, the fei zai is a handsome young man today. He plays guitar in our church once in a while, if you know who I'm talking about, from Calvary Baptist Church. You know, because when I first met him as a young boy, he was fei zai, you know. Fei zai means fatty lah, you know. But now he's a nice young man, you see. So people give us some names. But the last one is the most important. Because how do you earn for yourself a good name? How do you earn for yourself a good name? So, beloved, as you think about death, what will you find written on the coffin? Or in the tombstone? Or what will people say of you at the funeral? I think it's very morbid, but it's very important. What will people say of you? I mean, I listen with great enthusiasm to my brother Watson, you know, and all the work he's doing in Africa. You know, sometimes I also wish that I can go to Africa and do something there. Because in all these countries nearby, you know, there are hundreds of thousands of people there. But Africa and Middle East, we have very few people going there. And I'm sure he talks about David Livingstone, whose heart is found in Africa. Even though his tombstone is in Westminster's Abbey, but yet his heart was in Africa because he loved the Africans so much that when the missionaries went there to share with them about Jesus Christ, and they say, yeah, we know this Jesus. And so the missionary was surprised. And so they followed the African people, and then they brought them to the tombstone of David Livingstone. This man, he is Jesus Christ. So, beloved, what kind of life are you living? What kind of character do you want people to remember you with? I don't think we want people to remember us by our personality. Because personality is always what is outside, external, what people think of us. But character is who you really are. So what kind of character are you building? Because your character will determine your destiny. Thus, T.S. Eliot, he wrote something very interesting. He says, where's the life we have lost in the midst of living? Where's the life we have lost in the midst of living? I think sometimes when we're living, we're trying to catch up with life, trying to meet the deadlines, the bottom lines, whatever lines, you know, we forget about the life we're living. At the end of your life, what will people remember you by? Thus, beloved, the Word of God says in Psalm 90, verse 12, help us to number our days aright. Teach us to number our days. Teach us. Because, you know, it's not about the calendar. It is not about 80 or 90 years. But it's the quality of your life. Secondly, better the day of death than the day of birth. Welcome at birth. Farewell at death. Life is all over. Who cares? You see, death has a sobering effect on all of mankind. It forces us to think about life and how we should live it meaningfully. You see, it is what we do in between our birth and our death that makes life count. What are you going to do? You know, as you think about your life, are you doing something for eternity or are you just doing something for the present? You know, in eternity, we're going to live forever and ever in the presence of the Almighty God. What are you doing in preparation for eternity? Or are you just living for the here and the now? And of course, the third thing that Kohelev says, better the funeral parlor than the feasting palace. Now, because you go to the funeral parlor, you begin to think about your life. But when you go to a feasting meal, all we care is about the abalone and all these shark's fins. And of course, nowadays, they don't serve shark's fin anymore. And all these, exotic food that we can eat. Michelin, 1 star, 2 star, 3 stars. You know, nowadays, we all go for meals. We always look at how many stars there are. You know, Michelin stars. I tell you, we are chasing after our stomach. Whether you eat a $2 bowl of noodles, you say, Pastor, where got $2? Have. Some places still have $2. And thank God for those wonderful hawkers who sell chicken rice at $2, you know. Or you can eat the most expensive chicken rice in Chatterbox, you know. Actually, I think sometimes a $2 tastes better, you know. Some of you never know about Chatterbox. But Chatterbox, they say, has the best Hainanese chicken rice. But now there are many other good Hainanese chicken rice. Do you know something? Our Hainanese chicken rice in Singapore is better than Hainan Tao, which is Hainan Island in China. I hope that nobody listens to our message on this, and the Chinese people are very upset with me. But I can always tell that I'm Hainanese one, you know? Yeah. When I went to Hainan Tao, no, they spoke to me in Hainanese and answered them in Mandarin. Actually, I understand everything they say. Fourthly, better a sad face than laughter. You know, our faces may be sad, but it's good for the heart. Because the wise in heart is in the house of mourning, whereas the house or the heart of the fools is in the heart of pleasure. You know, one day I had the privilege of going to cricket club for the first time. Cricket club. You know, my friend who was a big-time lawyer, he brought me there. And I was very curious. Because there was a sign there that says, for men only. I was thinking, now we're living in the 21st century. Why is there discrimination against the women? So I asked my friend, I says, why cricket club have discrimination against women? And you know what he told me? Because only men are allowed in this room. Because they're jesting and coarse languages, which is not good for the ears of the women. You know, isn't it terrible? You know, sometimes people come together. They have this all these little jokes, you know, and everybody's laughing and laughing. I still remember my wife and I, we went for a honeymoon in Lake Toba, and then the tour guide was telling us all kinds of dirty jokes. At the end, I really don't feel like giving him a tip at all, you know, because he was just saying things that is so, you know, irritating to the ears. But there are many people who laugh over it. The thing is, wow, good, you know, this guy I know so much and can joke so beautifully. Actually, it's not beautiful. It's ugly. Beloved, that's why the Word of God says, you know, the fools, they have pleasure in the house of all this enjoyment. Luke jokes and coarse languages. But you and I, you know, we want to live a life thinking about, not just about diseases and dangers and disabilities and disasters, but about death. Because death is a new thing. Death is a strange thing. As Samuel Rutherford said this, it's a new thing. You know, death is tough for you and for me. Do you know why? Because when death comes knocking at our heart's door, it actually tears a part of our hearts away. And when it tears away a part of our heart, there is a big tear there. This tear is difficult. It takes a long time to get over the departure of your father or your mother. I tell you, it takes a long, long time. I can say this because I'm an orphan. People say, you're not like you got wife and children. I say, I'm an orphan. An orphan means no father, no mother, right? You know what I mean? It's hard. Because when you think about your loved ones, it's like a tear that just suddenly take away, you know, just remove, snatch away from your heart. It's tough. It mutilates the body. But you know for sure that they, if they are Christians, they are ready in glory land. They have been promoted to glory. Thus, beloved, I always envy my beloved brothers or sisters who die earlier than us, because they've entered into glory earlier than you and I can ever enter. Thus, when I look at death, death is not a terrible thing, a scary thing, because death can be a beautiful thing. Well, secondly, the wisdom to do the right thing. Because when you think about death, Kohelev says, don't do all the unrighteous thing. Don't take the shortcut. Don't. So please listen to him. He says, better to be rebuked than praised. You know, your good friends, they will tell you the truth about yourself. But those friends who are not so good, they like to tell you all the things that butter you out, flatter you, and make you feel very good about yourself. But you know what? Of course, we don't purposely do things to harm our friends. There is nothing wrong in being praised. All of us, God has made us unique. Our contributions and all that in life, people can see for themselves and they can acknowledge. You know, Corrie ten Boom. You know, she had this place called The Hiding Place. This hiding place is actually, yesterday was the 44th anniversary of The Hiding Place. You know, I could see Pastor Lai's picture at the corner of this nice 44th anniversary of Hiding Place, you know, because a good friend sent it to me. And I saw, wow, 44th anniversary, you know. Great. You know, The Hiding Place was named after Corrie ten Boom's hiding place. Because that's where her family hid the Jewish people from the Nazis. Of course, over that, her sister was you know, sadly killed or murdered. But this woman, even though, you know, she was a wonderful, godly woman, yet whenever she thinks about her loved ones who have gone, she also remembers them. And on one occasion, she saw a German soldier and she remembered very clearly that's the same man who killed her sister. You know, but she went forward and hugged the man and accepted him. You know, people praise Corrie ten Boom. Is it wrong to get praises from people? It's not wrong until the praises get to your heads. You know, it's okay to receive praises, but at the end of the day, Corrie ten Boom says, I gather all these praises as if they are a bouquet of flowers, and I offer it back to my God. Beloved brothers and sisters, all glory, praise, and honor be to our God. Thus, you know, when you think about life, there will be rebukes, but there will also be praises. How do we respond to them will determine our character. Our character is shown in how we respond to people's rebuke, as well as at the same time, the praises of people. Then it says, better to take the long haul than to, take the quick fix. Quick fix. People today want fast money. You know, it's an instant society, so we want to earn money fast and big, you know, big timer. You know, so what do? They actually go to MBS. They go to RWS. You know, I've never been to MBS, RWS, and you know what they are, you know, I hope you do. I mean the casinos. The casinos. It's a terrible place. But it's a place where you can have a quick buck. Fast. I think I remember telling you all, right? My good friend, Liu Heng San, whom I want to come bring him here to preach to you. You know? Liu Heng San. He will stay in the casino for 3 days and night to observe people. And you know what he found? He found that there are people who just gamble and gamble and gamble and never leave the place. Do you know why? Because the casinos have no windows, so they cannot see whether it's night or day. The casinos have no clocks, so they cannot see what time. You know? And so when he was there, he remembered this woman, she was wearing black pants. I told you this before. Because whenever she's playing the game, she's so into it, addicted to it, she will have no time to go to the toilet. And so she wear black pants. You know what I mean. But worse than that was a woman who went to the casino for the whole day. And by about 11-something p.m., she gave birth to her child at the casino. Because she was so addicted, she will not go out to deliver her child. And sorry to say this, the baby died in 10 minutes. You know, there are people like that. Because they're so addicted. You know, the quick fix. The Bible says, take the long haul. Take the long haul. You know, I think the government is good. You know, our government, anti-corruption, anti-bribery. You know, I think this is one of the wisest things our government can do. But in society, there are always people wanting the quick fix. Beloved, the shortcuts, some of them are good. Like computer, the clever computer specialists will always have shortcuts, you know. They know which button to press. But you know, some shortcuts in life are very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. So the third thing is, better the end of a matter than its beginning. So what is Kohelev saying? It's better to finish well. You know, it's better to finish well and then to have a good start. You know, in verse 8, the end of matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. So, you know, as you think about life, there are many new opportunities, new things, good. But can we finish well? You know, when you finish well, I think, many of us don't. Because we start with great enthusiasm, but slowly we lose steam. Then we lost the passion. We lost the commitment. And then the whole thing just goes down the drain. Thus, when you finish well, it shows that you have a strong finish, that you have strength of character and a persevering spirit. So, beloved, it's not how well you begin, it's how well you end that counts. And finally, it says it's better to be patient than to be proud. Because, you know, there are people who are so easily, you know, discouraged by projects that they fail. You know, but when you begin to be patient, patience takes off and gives you reward. You know, when people take the shortcut, sometimes they end up the shortcut. They end their life. Why do they end their life? Because of a skin problem. You know what's a skin problem? Face problem. All right? So don't be hindered by your pride. Be patient and do what is right in the eyes of God. And of course, he says, don't let the anger, you know, go down before the sun sets. You know, don't let your anger sun. That means don't let your anger continue. I think that many a times when we are angry, we tend to keep the anger in our hearts. So much so that, you know, it afflicts us. You cannot eat, you cannot sleep, you cannot do anything. Until and unless you solve the anger problem. Thus, beloved, it's always good to remember this. There is such a thing as righteous anger. But a long-term anger is not good for your health. Because a long-term anger will destroy your relationships as well as your health. And finally, the Kohelet says, don't say in verse 10, why were the old days better than this? For it's not wise to ask such questions. I think those of us who are older, you know, we know the songs. Those were the days, my friend, we thought they would never end. You know, those are the good old days. You know, we always think of the good old days because things were better. You know, you think about our church in Lorong Mambong. You know, that's where we had great joy media, you know. And then Reverend Graham Walker and his wife, you know, were running the church and you're very happy. Church was growing, a lot of young people, and today you're still here, thanks be to God, for Lorong Mambong. And then you say, how come today we don't do those things anymore? You know, people who always say those good old days, either they have, you know, they have poor memory or they have creative imaginations. I'm not insulting any of you. But I'm saying that in those days, when they were the good old days, you also complain and grumble. You know, because at the time, there's no aircon. Last time, pastors cannot drive an aircon car. You drive an aircon car, then you are worldly. You know? Christians, if you go to movies, you're very worldly. You know, Christians cannot wear mini skirt also. Because they must all look very decent. Those were the days. But those we call the good old days. You know why? Poor memory, creative imagination. Let me tell you why. Because these are the good old days. And the days ahead will be better. The better days are the days ahead. So don't just look back. Look now. Look forward. Because God can use you to make our days better. This God who tells you, I have a good plan, a good future, and a good purpose for your life. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. So while it's good to look back at history and learn from it, an over-dependence upon the past does not help us to overcome the difficulties of the present, nor to seize the opportunities of the future. I think as a church, we can look at all the past glories, or we can look at the present, you know, difficulties, or we can look at all those opportunities we can seize because God promises us a good future, a good hope, and a good plan. And of course, the second thing, the second main point is wisdom to see life clearer. How do you see life clearer? You know, in this aspect, Kohelet from verse 11, he says, wisdom like an inheritance is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter as money is a shelter, but the advantage of knowledge is this, that wisdom preserves the life of its possessor. So when you think about death, it helps you to see your life clearer. How do you see your life clearer? Firstly, with regards to your bank account. Because when it comes to what really is the crux of the matter, it's about dollar and cents. Whether you're buying a dress, or you're buying a car, or you're buying a house, It's always that dollar and cent thing, right? So the Bible here says money is only a shelter, it's a shade, it's a security, just as wisdom is also a shelter, a shade, and a security. But given a choice between the money and the wisdom, let's choose wisdom, because wisdom is forever, whereas money is temporal. You see, it's wisdom that will bless us with not only good health, but also wealth that God will bless us when we trust in Him. So money should never be our master. It should be our slave. I still remember growing up as a young man, very shocked one day I read in the newspaper about this man, only 28 years old, but he caused so much damage to the whole financial institution, the Barclays. You remember the guy by the name of just a very simple guy by the name of Nick Leeson? Only 28 years old. He was working in Singapore, but he cost Barclays $2 billion in losses because this man wanted a quick fix. So money, yes, it should never be our master. It should be our slave. Secondly, he says, with regards to the blanks in life. You know, because in life, there are many blanks. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what He has made crooked? You know, I think when you look at life, there are many things we don't have answer to. Why is this thing straight? Why is the thing crooked? Why is this this and why is that that? You know, we ask many questions. But when you think about life, life is in the hands of God. It is not us to for us to over, you know, kind of overbear ourselves on all those blanks. When there are blanks in life, just like you are studying for your exams, fill in the blanks. Not you. Let God fill in the blanks. There will be many blanks in life. Why is it that this young man, full of potential and all that, suddenly just died from a heart attack? You know, why is it that we, in spite of all our intelligence, we didn't get a job? Somebody else got a job. Why is it that you are a great student, always obedient to the teacher and do your homework on time and hand in on time, but the teacher chose another person ahead of you to be the prefect of the class? Beloved, there are many things that we suffer on the face of this earth. When we wake up in the morning, we grumble. Why am I having a bad day today? There was a man who woke up in the morning and he was wondering how come he got up so late. He had to rush to work. How come he overslept? And then on the way to work, his car couldn't start. And then when he went for lunch, he had to keep sitting there and waiting for his sandwich to be given to him. And then at the end of the day, he went home. And guess what happened? He was trying to massage his leg on the foot massager, and the foot massager couldn't work. And so he was just complaining in his heart, God, why? Why all this? And the Lord told him, this morning, I let you sleep because the angel of death was at your bedside. But my angel was fighting the angel of death. This morning, your car couldn't start. Do you know why? Because there was a drunken driver on the road. If you were driving on the road, you would be hit. And then the third thing, why is it that you got your sandwich so long? Because your first sandwich was actually made by a guy who was sniffing and running nose and coughing away. You know? And so it was a wrong thing he did. And so he had to wait for the right piece of sandwich done by one who was not sick. And finally, why is it that your foot massager wasn't working? Because there was something wrong in your house. If it was working, your whole house would short circuit. Beloved, there are many blanks in life. God has the answer. We don't. Because we don't see the whole picture. And thirdly, in this regards to see life clearer, is regarding burdens and blessings. You know, all of us want blessings. Blessing, 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 you know. I think sometimes we are a bit in a society that is always talking about prosperity. We want to be blessed, you know. And of course, you know about this pastor who drives a nice big car and he says, if I'm not blessed, then how can you be blessed, you know. So, you know, the kind of blessing mentality, prosperity, health, wealth, and prosperity. I want to tell you this. In life, it's not all blessing. There will be burdens. There will be difficulties. As you go out to work, you will discover that there are many more challenges in life than you ever think. First, young people and children, when you have a chance, just enjoy growing up. Why want to be like the adults, you know? I mean, adults, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them. You know, but when you're in school, you know, the innocence of just going to school, you got all your pocket money, you know, everything provided for, your parents asking the maid to carry your bag for you and whatever, you know. But when you go out to the army, you got to carry your own bag. You know, you got to run up the mountain or the hill with a big luggage behind you. It's tough. That's why when you can enjoy life, enjoy it. Because in life there'll be blessings, but there are also burdens. And finally, regarding balance, this guy is saying, don't be over righteous, don't be over wise. Why? Is he telling people you cannot be good, you cannot do the right thing? No. He's saying that in life you need to have a balance. Sometimes over righteous people don't like you. They don't like you. Because you think you're so smart. You know, you think you're so clever, you think you're so good. And he says, don't be over-wise, because people may not want your opinions. So, you know, let's learn to be, you know, able to keep quiet when it's not your turn to talk. Because part of wisdom is not saying anything at all. And of course, the last point is wisdom to face life stronger. And I know time is running out. But, you know, wisdom gives us strength. And that's what Kohiev is saying. Better to be wise than to be a ruler of 10 cities, because wisdom is not the knowledge of accumulated facts, but the inner strength that comes from a God-instructed conscience. A conscience that's instructed by God, by His Spirit. So how do we deal with sin? You know, as you deal with sin, you know, we can only walk in step with God's Word when you're walking in step with the Spirit of God and you overcome the sin of commission or the sin of omission. That's why in this chapter, it tells you about many things that are kind of interesting. Even tells you about don't slander people, so there's dealing with slander and dealing with the schemes of life, and finally about dealing with snares. Because in life, there are many traps that are laid out there for you. And sometimes the traps are laid up by the people who are nearest and dearest to you, your colleagues or your fellow workers. So, beloved, don't be overwise. Don't be over-righteous, but live life, facing life stronger. How can we be stronger? Kohelev says you can only be stronger when you allow God to take care of your life. So in conclusion, I want you to remember things that we can learn. Firstly, let's earn a good name before God and men. A good name is far more important than all the wealth, all the perfumes, all the fineries you can have in life. A good name. So what kind of name are you going to leave behind? Secondly, put on wisdom. Put wisdom to work so that your lives will be a fragrant offering to God as well as a fine perfume to people around you. Put wisdom to work. You know, I think this world, we are in the business of accumulating knowledge. But knowledge will get you nowhere. It's wisdom to apply all this knowledge rightly, appropriately, intentionally, you know, and timely. That's what will make you in good state. Thirdly, let us seek to do the right things in life. Even though it may be tedious, even though other people are doing wrong, let us continue to do right. I remember once at the immigration, you know, I was faced with an immigration officer. And the immigration officer was a young lady. And there was something I didn't do right, you know, at that point of time. And not said not right. I wasn't doing anything wrong. But this immigration lady says, "Sir, I very thirsty." I say, "Huh? You very thirsty?" So you know what I did? I went to get her a can of Coke. You know? I said, "I have Coke in my car. No, I can give you a can of Coke." "Sir, I'm still very thirsty." I went back and got her another Coke. Until the people in my car says, "Pastor, she means that she's very thirsty." You know? You know, there are people who will snare you. you can bribe the person because everyone is doing it. Well, you know, you go to certain countries to work, if you don't give them extra money, then you cannot succeed. You'll never get a contract. You never get a deal. You will always be on the losing side. But beloved, let us know that our lives are controlled by God. If God doesn't want to give this business because it's full of snares and entanglements, God can open other doors and windows for you. So let's seek always to do the right thing. And finally, let's learn to control our tongues. As James chapter 1 verse 19 says, let's be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. That is wisdom. You know, this wisdom is found in the book of Proverbs. But I think it's James chapter 1 verse 19, written by James. It's such a beautiful phrase. Because it's everything about wisdom. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. That's what God desires from you and me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this is a long day and we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for the much encouragement, not only through the worship, but also through the sharing by Brother Watson. And now from your word, we pray that you help us to hide your words in our hearts so that we will not sin against you. Because we know that in this life we are living with, there are many tendencies towards sin. There will always be tendency to gossip about others because all of us love a gossip until the gossip is about us. And thirdly, Lord, there are so many schemes of people and snares along the way, but help us to overcome them with the strength that comes from knowing you and from your word. So teach us, Lord, to earn a good name before you and before others. Help us to put on wisdom. Help us to seek to do the right thing and help us to control our tongues. This is our prayer. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.